Praise the Lord. Amen. It was in 2011 that was the last time that I was here, and I'm so happy to be here, and God is good. Amen. And like the brother was saying, I mean, you blessed my heart with the report that you gave of what you guys are doing for the Lord and the brother over here. And it's so great. I am blessed. I mean, I feel like I don't even have to preach. They already preach. Amen. But I do want to tell you the story about David Ortiz. My name is Henry Ortiz. And by the grace of God, we have a little small church in Brooklyn. We have one in Puerto Rico. And that's what God's been using us to do these last days that we're living in. Amen. And what I want to say, the testimony of how this whole thing started in my life, David's life, and where we were at one time, where we are today, and now we have purpose and meaning because of Jesus Christ. Amen. So let me start by saying that this happened. David was single. I was single. We had an apartment in Manhattan, in Allen Street in Manhattan. We were not nice Jewish boys. We were doing basically the wrong things. And we used to party a lot. I come from a background of drugs. That delivered me from drugs many years ago. And there we were in Manhattan. And on Fridays, the cops used to knock on the doors. And neighbors used to complain because of the noise and the scandal that we had. It was only a bunch of guys living there, living a crazy life. We thought that, you know, it was fun. But you know what? Now that I see, my eyes are open, I see that it was not fun at all, because there's consequence to pay that to this day I'm still paying them. Amen? So there we were. So it all started with David. David somehow had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and the fairy. Me, my brother, that today he's in heaven, we were on a Saturday night. We party, we drank everything. There was never food in that house. You could find beers, you could find drugs, but no food. David, because he got saved, he used to feed us. He used to buy turkey necks. And David always had some soup for us to feed us. So we used to look up, you know, we used to always ask, David, do you have anything to eat? So David always fed us. So that's that Saturday we party, and it was Sunday the next day. And me and my brother, we got up, and we were hungry. So David walked in the house. And David, you know, we asked David, do you have any those turkey necks that you make a soup once in a while? And David told us, well, not today. But he said, but you know what? I know a church that once they do the service and they feed the people downstairs. So he said, why don't you guys come with me? So me and my brother, we look at each other and we say, church? You know? So anyway, we were so hungry that my brother said, well, what do we got to lose? Let's go. But let's go late. Let's go late so when we walk in, everybody already, you know, the service already had finished so that we could just go eat and get out of there. So what happened? It was a church. The pastor's name was Mr. Ross. He was a born-again Jew. God was using him all over Brooklyn. He used to feed the people in the Bowery, and he was always doing good things for the Lord. So there we were. David went ahead. And then he gave us the address where it was, and I wasn't far from the house. So when we walked through those doors, it was a small little church. It maybe 20 people there. But that day, there was a pastor from South Dakota. And they were playing music, and they were nice and everything. But what happened? Nothing happened until we walked through those doors. As soon as we walked through those doors, the service started. And me and my brother, we just look at each other. And we said, oh, well, let's wait until it's finished. So then there was, like I said, maybe 20 person. There was this beautiful girl with a guitar playing and singing to the Lord. Me and my brother were going like this to each other and winking and going like that to her and going to all this stuff. And the pastor, you know, this pastor had like a big ears like that. So my brother was making fun of him and said, look at him. Look at his smile. He got to be high on something. So there we were. It was a miracle they didn't throw us out. But what happened? God had a plan that I was not expecting. All of a sudden, I'm sitting to my brother, and he's going to go like that to me. And I start crying and crying. And if you notice, I still cry. And crying and crying. And I didn't know why. So my brother, when he went like that to me, he got scared. You know, and he said, oh, he left me alone. So all I could remember was that I was crying and crying and crying. At the time, I didn't know what was happening. Today, I know because of the fact that I've been walking with God for so many years. So my brother got up. It was the service finished. All I could remember was that I was, you know, I was a macho man from the street. So crying was a no-no. But then I started cleaning my tears like that and cleaning my tears like that. And when I looked up, I noticed that everybody was already downstairs, except the two pastors. They were there talking. I got up, embarrassed because I was, you know, I was, you know, crying. So I started walking. I said, what am I? I'm going to go eat. You know, so when I started walking towards the downstairs, the two pastors were right next to me. Something inside was telling me, go tell them why you don't want to serve God. Go tell them. You know, so I walked to the pastors, and they just smiled. And right there, I just started crying. I couldn't talk. So they smile, and they say, do you want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And within my belly came out, yes. Yes. So what happened? Those two holy men lay hand on me, pray on me, and I felt something that I have never experienced. I felt peace. I felt comfort. I felt joy. So much joy that when we went downstairs to eat, my brother was about to bite a hamburger. And when the pastor said, hold everything, hold everything. Brother Henry wants to say something. And my brother said, brother who? And you know, I was so happy. I was not shy. I just said, listen, I'm just so happy that I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, crying and saying it at the same time. And I went there to eat because I was very hungry. Let me tell you that the hunger went away. My brother told me, he looked at me and said, I'll give you 2 months. I'll give you 5 weeks. You will be back with me partying all over again. But what happened? He got tired of waiting. Me and David, we were going to churches. We were excited. I mean, it was something so beautiful that we used to read the Word of God all night long into daylight. That's how hungry we were for the Word. And then we started having fellowship, and we started, and my brother Lewis was watching. We didn't preach to him. We didn't say, get converted. We didn't hit him with the Bible in the head. We were living it. To a point where he said, you know what? I'm going to have to try this. Because he used to see the joy that all of us had. And we were not under the influence of nothing. It was just the Holy Spirit. And let me remind you that when this happened, there was no pastor there. There was no. It was the work of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. So what happened? My brother came to the Lord. Okay? And my brother, you know, he became a Christian. He got saved. He got married with an Italian girl. They were married for 35 years. The Lord took him away a few weeks ago because he was in dialysis, but he's with the Lord. Amen. So my brother right now is better than all of us sitting here because he's with God. Amen. So, okay, so what happened? We kept on looking for God. We kept on seeking God, and God started changing us. The apartment, everything changed. When God comes to the picture, things happen. If there's not a change, something is wrong. Amen? So we paint the apartment. Christians started coming out of nowhere. We put outside one way Jesus Christ. We put tracks in the hallway. The people thought we moved out. Because we were different. Amen? We were different. So you see, that was just how this whole thing started. But let me tell you, then something happened to me that I started walking away from God. And one night and one day, I was in Coney Island. This is the part of the truth that I really want to talk about. Because this is what I'm telling you now is not, this is a true story. I was in Coney Island. I was in drugs. I was walking the wrong way. And we decided to hold up a person, me and two other guys. And what happened? We gave him the hold up. The guy, all he had on his pocket was a dollar, a token. That was it. I used to carry knives. So I had the knife, and I took the dollar and the token from him. The other guys, they ran and they left. So I stayed there, and something evil got into me in such a way that I just started kicking that poor guy without even knowing who he was. So what happened? This happened on the boardwalk in Coney Island. So I left them there bleeding. I started running, and I ran like maybe like 3 or 4 blocks from where I left them. But what happened? When I looked back, the guy was right in front of me bleeding, and there were like 5, 6 police officers right in front of him. So he jumped on me. So the police officers grabbed me, grabbed him, and said, well, we're going to take both of you to the precinct to see what happened here. So they took me to the precinct with him. Somehow, the guy walked in, and he jumped on me, and I don't know where. Listen, I gave him a punch. Not even Mike Tyson would have gave it at that time. I hit him, and I knocked him down, and what was that for? Those police officers grabbed me and threw me in the jail, and they took me to Rikers Island jail. When I was in there in that jail, I started to remember God, and I started crying out to God, God, get me out of here. God, get me out of here. Okay? So they bailed me out. My bill was $1,500. They charged me with a felony, attempted robbery. So for years, I was going not to criminal court. I was going to the Supreme Court. And for years, I was going. And every time I used to go, they used to suspend the case because of the fact that if I would have got myself in one more trouble, they would have stayed with that money. So that it went on and on and on. So one day I was so scared because there was these people deciding what to do with my life. And I'm there like this. And then I had this organization that was supposed to help people who had problems with the court. And then there was this legal lady who could have cared less about me because I wasn't paying him. The city was paying him. And there they were talking and debating, trying to help me. And there I was scared. And I realized that, man, I need help. So I started looking for God. There was this cousin of mine named Epi. He's in heaven too. I went to his church, and there was this man, and I went to him. He was a pastor. I went to him, and I told him, listen, tomorrow I have to go to court, and I'm scared. I don't know if I'm going to come back out. They were telling me, you're going to make 15 years, you're going to make 20 years, and I was scared. Because I've been, it wasn't the first time that I was in jail. I know what jail is about. And it's not a nice place. Nobody wants to be there. Nobody wants to be locked up. But there I was. So I remember that they were arguing and arguing. And I'm there, well, what you guys supposed to be helping me, not arguing with one another. So they suspended the case again. And I went to this pastor. And I remember that he prayed for me. It was Sunday, and I had to go to the court Monday. And when that man laid hands on me, I felt relief. I felt that everything was going to be all right. Okay? So what happened? The next day, I went to the court, and of course, they suspended it. Okay, so what happened was this. Then I started looking for God and submitting myself to God. See, knowing God and submitting is two different things. Everybody knows there's a God. Nature itself speaks about God. But the question is, are you submitting to? Do you know him? Do you spend time with him? Do you fellowship with him? I was having fellowship with him. I was spending time with him in such a way that God told me. I was lying for 2 years that case was going on. And after 2 years, God told me, you got to tell the truth. Because I was lying. I had a very good story. Well, let me listen to my story. This guy claimed that I did that to him. They didn't find no money on me, no dollar, no talking, no knife, no nothing. And then they caught me like 3 blocks from where he claimed it happened. No witness. It was his word against mine. So I said, wait a minute. I might get away with this. But what happened? When God came in the picture, the Holy Spirit was telling me, you got to say the truth. And I did. I went to my lawyer, and I told him, or the legal lady, I told him, listen, I got to say the truth, man, because the truth was that I really did it. And he said, what? You mean to tell me that you've been lying for me for 2 years and now you're going to confess that you did it? And I said, yeah, because now I have Jesus Christ in my life and I have to say the truth. So what happened? The guys from the church that I was fellowshiping and whatnot, I was at that time I had an afro, a big afro. So the lawyer told me, you better take that afro off and you better comb your hair and put a suit and everything and don't go like a hoodlum over there because people judge you for the way you look. Okay, So I put myself, I took my hair and I blow it up, and I looked at like maybe like Elvis Presley with the hair back and everything and with the suit. So when it was time for me to go to the court, all my brothers were excited. They went with cameras. I mean, oh, Henry's going to say the truth after lying for 2 years. And we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know if I was going to go to jail or not. But this was my thinking and this was my attitude. Wherever God wants me, I'll be all right. I figured if God wanted me in the street, I'll be in the street. I figured if God wanted me in jail, I'll witness to people in jail. But in my heart, I was telling God, God, get me out of this. So what happened? It was time to see the judge. The court was in session, and there I was. The lawyer said, well, Your Honor, we're playing guilty. The young man here has found religion, and now he wants to say the truth after 2 years. And the judge looked at me, and I said, wow. But you know what? God is so good. The Lord was there with me. God even gave me the opportunity to talk to the judge. They said, well, young man, do you have to say anything? And the guy that I gave the hold of was there as well, because it was trial. So I said, Your Honor, I have found the Lord Jesus Christ, and the reason I'm telling you the truth is because God wants me to speak the truth. So he looked at me, and I said, wow, I wonder what's next. But he said, young man, I see that you are talking sincere. I don't think I will see your face around here no more. I'm giving you 5 years probation, not parole, 5 years probation, okay? So he gave me 5 years probation, and I did maybe like after three years, the probation officer told me, you don't have to come here anymore. I know that, you know, that you're going to be all right. And from that day on, I've been serving my Lord. Amen. He delivered me from drugs. I tried detox programs. I tried so many things to get off drugs, and my addiction was in methadone. I don't know, methadone is something like heroin. The government gives it to the junkies to calm them down. But that drug is worse than heroin. And I was there in that drug like maybe for 8 years. And I was asking God, that was another mess that God took me. I said, Lord, please get me out of this. I used to work. I mean, I used to do drugs and everything, but I used to work, and I still work. I'm a dental technician, and that's what I used to do for many years. So I asked God, get me out of this. So I joined the church, and God started working in my life. And to this day, God, I mean, I don't know. I can't explain it how God delivered me from it, because it was hard. You know, I started going down in milligrams, and to finally, it was gone. And I still have the bottles that they used to give me. I still have those bottles empty to show the world, you know, what God did in my life. Because I was in a high milligram, you see? And that's what I want to talk about today, truth. You see, the brother was talking about a few minutes ago about what, you know, the Lord is doing in their life and about people who are against us. But you know why? They don't have truth. Because there's only one truth, and that is Jesus Christ. And guess what? You guys have found the truth. Amen? And that's what I want to talk about, truth. Remember when Jesus went before Pilate? Then Pilate asked him, what is truth? Jesus said, everybody from the truth could hear my voice. Jesus said, the truth will set us free. And that's why we're free. Amen? You see, I tell everybody, I cry all the time because the Holy Spirit worked with me in that way. And there was a time in my life that I told God, God, I don't want to cry no more. I feel embarrassed. Don't let me cry no more, because wherever I went, a few minutes ago, I was crying there. It's the way that God cleans me. It's the way that God deals with me. God deals with each one of us different. Me, I cry. Amen? So I told the Lord, no, I don't want to cry no more, because look at me. I'm always crying in front of people, man. I don't want to cry. Okay? You don't want to cry? Fine. Okay. Then I started going to services, and I was not crying. And I didn't feel the Spirit. I said, God, make me cry. I don't care about the people. Make me cry. Make me cry. Forget about what people see in me. I want to feel your love. I want to feel you. And God, by the grace of God, I'm crying again. Amen? So, my brothers, what am I doing here? Encouraging you. I know that everybody in this room here, I pray to God that you have not religion, not doctrine, but a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because that's the difference. You see, the difference that what we have is a relationship. That's why there's power. That's why this is not boring. Religion is boring. There are people out there, they're in religion. Religion, that's boring. But a relationship with Jesus Christ is everyday excitement. Every day God is going to do something in your life. Those who live by the Spirit, you don't know what God's going to take you next. Amen? And that's what we have. And that's why I'm here all the way from New York. I'm here to tell you, God is good. God has done great things in my life. It's been a life of miracle after miracle. God is manifest himself in me and I'm in him. And God lives inside of each one of us. And that is through his Holy Spirit. He didn't abandon us. He left the Holy Spirit to guide you so that you could understand the word, his word. Amen? You see? Because let me tell you, I have spoken with people who are in university, smart people. And they study the Bible because the Bible's history. But when they become born again, it's totally different. When they become born again, they say, wow, now I really understand what the word of God. Because one verse could give you 100 things through life that you're going through. The word of God, it's real. The word of God is the number one book that is being, even though they're trying to stop it, even though it's the number one book that is selling like hot bread in every language. I wonder why. And Jesus told the devil, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that come out of the mouth of God. So you see, we need that word. That's what's going to change you. That's what's going to reveal to you who God is. Amen? That's what's going to give you peace. That's what's going to give you joy. That's what's going to tell you how it started, what's happening now, and what's coming in the future. The word of God. I had a problem. I didn't like to read. I'm not a well-educated man. I don't like to read. But God told me, you better. You like to eat. You can see I like to eat, right? But you know what? When you eat that word, you're doing your soul and your spirit is getting stronger and stronger. So you see, the word of God. Wherever I go, my vitamins. I tell people, there are three vitamins, spiritual vitamins that you, it's a must if you want to know God. If not, like I said in Spanish, engancha los guantes. Hang the gloves. Vitamin number one, the word of God. Not by bread does man live, but by every word that comes out of God's mouth. That's God talking to you. You want to know God? In his Bible. The verb, Jesus became the word. Okay? Vitamin number two, prayer. If we don't communicate, we will never get to understand who we are. And praying is so important. Prayer is powerful. And vitamin number three, the last one, the church. If I want to move that piano, believe me, by myself, it's going to be very hard. But if all of you help me, it'll be easier. So you see, we need each other. We need each other. And this is the reason why we gather here. Amen? So what do we have? We have truth. Okay? We have truth. We don't have religion. Truth. Jesus said you will know that truth. And that truth has set us free. There is power in the name of Jesus. This is a powerful. Let me put it to you this way. Do you know what it is to have a relationship with a God who could do the impossible? Who knows you better than what you know yourself? Who's always protecting you? He doesn't sleep like me and you do. He loves you. He knows every little hair from your head. He knows. And he knows you better than what you know yourself. And he loves you. And anything that he takes away from you is because it's not good for you. Amen? And he tells you, once you become born again and you start studying his promises and you start studying this word, God will, there's so many promises that God is there. Even anything you touch, God will bless it. When you walk with him and you keep his commandments. Now you tell me you're not blessed. Where are you going to get a friend like that? Where? Where can you get insurance like that? Nowhere. Only in God. And it's free. And he came so that you could have life and have life in abundance. God is preparing you for eternity. The day that you give your last breath in this planet, you give your first into eternity. And that's what God wants with each one of us. Now you tell me you're not blessed. Do you know that right now in this planet, there are people that could not grab a hold of you, man? There are people right now in the world looking for answers, looking for, you know, for peace, looking for joy, and they can't find it. And it's only in Jesus Christ. And there's some rumors around. There's rumors. Oh, you can find God in every religion. He'll take you to God. That's a lie. There's only one way. Jesus Christ. That's the true God. That's the bridge. That's the reason why there's so many religions and it's so confused. And they're even killing in the name of God because they don't know God. Because our God is a God of peace and love. And love is a powerful force. When love is involved, my brothers and sisters, the bullet's coming. You take your brother out. Religion? No, brother, you stay there. I'm going to hide. Because they don't know God. There's no fear in God. We know where we're going. Amen? You see, we're not afraid of death. Because death has no victory over us. And that was all provided because of Jesus Christ. Now I ask you again. Ain't you blessed? Blessed are those who thirst after righteousness. For they shall be filled. Said by the Master himself. So we are blessed, my brother and sister. We are blessed. We are going places, and God is backing us up. And guess what? He could do the impossible. You can. He could open ways where you can. For him, everything is possible. Now you tell me if you're not blessed. Amen? That's what we have. That's what we have. That's what the world is looking for. There's no peace, there's no joy, and artificial. The rest is all artificial. And there's no truth in it. So there can't be freedom in it. Amen? So you see, in the Bible, Jesus got arrested. Amen? And Jesus went before Pilate. Okay? And Jesus was quiet. And Pilate told him, you're not going to talk to me? Are you crazy? What, you're not going to talk? Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you or let you go? And Jesus was quiet. But when he said that, he had to straighten him out. He told him, listen, you don't have no power over me unless it's given to you from above. And I'm telling you right now, nobody could do anything to you and me unless it's permitted from above. Because God has everything under control. You see, my brothers, they go to dangerous territory. David, what God has done in his life. And I know that you, see, you guys over here, I respect you. I admire you because you guys have it hard. In America, there's a church right here. There's a church right there. And sometimes the pastors don't even talk to each other. And we could talk about Jesus anywhere. Here, you can't. Here, if you do, you'll be persecuted. In other countries as well. So I have to respect that. Because for me, I have it more easy over there than you guys here. But you know what? Your reward in heaven is going to be big. I have not seen, ear has not heard the things that God got for those who love him. And that's what's waiting for you and me, brothers. In another part of the Bible, Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in me, believe in my Father also. In my Father's house, there's a lot of mansions. If it was not like that, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you will be. That's what's waiting each one of you. I say it again. Are we blessed or what? Think about it. You have a God who could do anything. You have a God who loves you. You have a God who protects you. You have a God that if a leaf falls down, he knows about it. I get excited. Excuse me for yelling. But the more I talk about it, the more I'm blessed. Because, you know, brothers and sisters, we have the truth. We don't have religion. We have a God, my God, our God will do anything for you. The man said, yeah, they got children. Wouldn't you do anything for your children? If your children follows your rules because, you know, they're good kids, they follow you, and you have money or you have whatever, wouldn't you give them whatever they need? But God is the same. If you follow his commandments and you follow his statute, you think God is not going to do anything for you? God is rich. He owns everything. And he wants to give it to you and me. That's why he came and he died. And it wasn't easy what he went through. Because we all know the Bible. The Bible says that at one time he said, Father, if it's possible, can we do this some other way? But nevertheless, what I want, but what you want. He was smart. Because with God, you don't lose. With God, you throw the quarter up in the air, heads or tail. And I don't care how it falls. Either tails or heads, you're still a winner. Because the God that you have could do anything. And the God that I have could do anything. So there was Pilate there. He was scratching his head and said, what is he talking about? What is true? He didn't understand what is true. And he was scared. And he wanted to let him go. But because of pride or maybe money, who knows? He said, okay, let him crucify him. But you know what? They didn't kill him. He gave his life. He gave his life. I mean, remember when Peter cut the ear of Marcus and, you know, and he said, hey, put that away. You think if I won right now, I could call 12 legions of angels. But I didn't come for that. I came to die. Amen? And that's what we have. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Every day of our life, God is renewing your mind. God is shipping out that which is no good and putting in that which is good. And preparing each one of us for eternity. Now you tell me if you're not blessed. Where can you get a relationship like that? Where? It doesn't exist. But God have chosen you from the day that you were in your mother's womb. God already had a plan for your life. God was already protecting you when you didn't even know it. He was protecting you. And today you have come to your senses. Today you know that he's real. Today you know where to run. Today you know who to cry out to. And guess what? He's there with you all the time. His spirit is inside of you. It's not a force. It's not it's a power of the Holy Spirit is a person inside of you. Don't ask me to explain it because I don't know. But I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. So you see, nobody could do anything to you unless it's permitted from above. When it's time for you to go, my brother, you're going to be happy to go in the Lord. I mean, if I bet you right now I will go to heaven and say, hey, listen, why don't you come back to the planet? I don't think nobody's going to say, yeah, what, are you crazy? Who wants to be back in the planet when they're in front of God? No one. I have read testimony after testimony of people that God have allowed to die and come back. And all of them say, I didn't want to come back. I didn't. But somehow God made me come back to tell the world. And then you tell the world and they don't believe you. They think you're crazy. The rich man, when he was in hell, what happened? Send, because I got five brothers. Hey, listen, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophet, even somebody from the dead go, they would not believe him. It's happening now. How many people God have brought back? And you could see testimony after testimony in the internet of people testifying of heaven and how it is in heaven and what they went through and what God allows them to go through so that they could give us that information. But anyway, I'll go further than that. The Holy Spirit give witness to your spirit that you belong to him and that this is real, based on truth. And that's what we have, the truth. You see? And that day that I was in front of that judge, I was scared. Yeah, I was scared. But I knew that somehow God was going to do something, and sure enough, my attitude was, if I go to jail, Lord, you're going to be with me. If I stay in the street, Lord, you're going to be with me. So you see? I was a winner. I was a winner. With God, you don't lose. With God, God does the impossible right before your eyes in your behalf. Let me say it again. Are we blessed or what? My God, we are blessed to know what we know. I have seen people, they just can't grab a hold of it. They just can't. But everybody here, you have grabbed a hold of it. You know why? Because if not, you wouldn't be here, sitting where you are. If not, you wouldn't be going through what you're going through for the Lord. Amen? You see? So God is real, my brothers and sisters. We have the real thing. We have the real thing. We have the power. We don't have religion. We have a relationship with our Creator. There are times that God called you to your closet And there are times that you see you spend time with God, just you and Him. And what a beautiful thing it is to pray. What a beautiful thing God created, that you could lock yourself in your closet and you could talk to your Creator. And you know for a fact that He's there with the windows open, listening to everything you have to say. And at the same time, if you don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit helps you to say what has to be said. Let me say it again. Where are you going to get that? Are you blessed or what? My God. You know, and it all starts when you are born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, Nicodemus, let me tell you one thing. You're smart. You know the Torah. You know everything. But you don't know that for you to enter heaven, you have to be born again. He didn't understand. He said, well, what are you talking about? But guess what? The day that they crucified him, he was there. He did understand. I think I'm going to see him in heaven. Amen. He's going to be there. And Paul's going to be there. And all the prophets are going to be there. And those who have gone first than you, they're going to be there. What a wonderful thing. A few days ago, I was in Brooklyn. Now I'm here in Israel, talking to you beautiful people. So guess what? And maybe in a few years, I will not be in this planet, but I'll be in heaven with my brother rejoicing. Because I believe that with all my heart. You see? What's the use of believing in a powerful God who could do anything if you're not going to believe what He says? Tell me, what's the use? But you see, according to your belief, it's going to be done unto you. This is a walk of belief. You know why I used to use drugs? I wanted to feel good. Feelings. I wanted to feel no problem. I wanted to feel no headache. Oh, I felt I was the laugh of the party under influence of drugs. You know what God taught me? You know, no more feelings for you. You live by faith. Forget about what you feel. Forget about what you see. Forget about what you hear. You trust this, my word. If my word is telling you that this is white and you see it black, it's white because the word says it. You see why? Because you see, for us, we believe first, then we see. For the world, seeing is believing. Brother, when you live with that attitude, and if you don't have it, ask God to give it to you, because you have not because you don't ask. Whatever you're lacking in your relationship with God and your walk with God, if you don't have it, ask. I did. One time when I was in the church, I said, God, I don't have love for that guy. I don't know who that guy is. Give me love for the people. Now, I see people I don't even know, and I'm hugging them in the streets and everything. That's God. There has to be a change in you. If there's not a change in you, something is wrong. You cannot come and be born again and continue following the same steps that you were doing or doing the same things. There's a change. But my brother, vitamin number one is what changed you. This is God. And if you don't study this and you don't get into this, you're starving spiritually. Amen? So tell me once again, are you blessed or what? My God, let me hear you say it. Yes. Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Amen. I mean, we have the perfect pearl. We have the answer to life. We have the real peace, not like the world gives it. We have the peace that passes all understanding. Let me tell you a little story. When my brother died, when he was sick, I was in New York and he was in Florida. When I heard that he was sick, he got sick because he was in dialysis. He was fighting that sickness for 17 years. And when I heard that, my sister called me and told me, you better hurry up because he's bleeding and I don't think he's going to live long. I dropped my job. I told my boss, I got to go to Florida. I had a BMW. I was going crazy. I was going like 150 down the road just to get to my brother alive. When I got there, he was alive. I started praying, and the Lord told me, tell Lewis I'm going to give him 15 more years. I was there at the hospital, and I said, Lewis, he was awake. You know, he was okay. He was recuperating. I told him, Lewis, the Lord told me. And when I said, the Lord told me, the phone rang. It was my father in Puerto Rico. He was a pastor, too. My father told me, tell Lewis that the Lord told me that he's going to give him 15 years. I almost dropped the phone. And I told Lewis, confirmation from Papi, that God's going to give you, you're going to get out of that bed. And sure enough, he did. He got out of the bed. And he started, and let me tell you, he was in dialysis, And he was in jail ministry for 15 years. My brother was going into jail ministry. When he used to come out of the alley, he couldn't even walk. But when it was his time to go to the jail ministry, he used to make the effort to go. One time he called me. He told me, Henry, you know what? Today, when I just got out of the alley, it was my turn to go to the jail ministry. And I didn't want to go because I was so weak. But something was telling me, the Holy Spirit was telling me, go. And he went. He said, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to put the other guy in charge because right now I'm so weak. But he said that when he went there, everything went away. He said he felt like a 15-year-old. I mean, he preached and people got saved in that jail ministry. When he got home, he was dancing around the house of the energy that God gave him. God honored him. But he was fighting that sickness for a long time and he was suffering. And he never complained. Never heard my brother complain. And he used to drive himself to dialysis and come back in Florida until it was time for him to go. You know how he went? Sitting on the chair looking at the sky. The Lord took him. David, at the time that he died, God showed David a vision that he was looking at the glory of God. And that's how he lived. What a wonderful God we serve, huh? Nobody had to really take care of him. He didn't bother nobody. God took him. At the time that it was for him to go. And he, let me tell you, a lot of times he got sick, but he used to come out. He was a fighter. And he wanted to live. But the body couldn't take it no more. So God took him. And why am I telling you this? Because when God took him, God gave me a peace that I didn't understand. I had such a peace that was passing all understanding. I did not cry. I was strong with the family. We did a memorial service for him. I was there, you know, I was the one who was direct because I'm a pastor, you know. And let me tell you, I did not cry. I was strong for the whole family. Then when I came back to Brooklyn, I started crying. When I came back from Brooklyn, I said, my God, Lord, I miss my brother. Because he used to call me all the time. We were like this. We were like this. We were brought up together. He was the one that paid my ticket for when I was in Puerto Rico. I was 15 years old, and he brought me to New York City, to Brooklyn. And we were always together. Until he got married. He married an Italian girl. They were married for 35 years. They were in ministry. They come from Brooklyn Tabernacle. I don't know, maybe you guys know what Brooklyn Tabernacle is. And God was using him tremendously, even though he was sick. And God took him. And you know what? Once again, he's better than all of us sitting here because he's with the Lord. Amen? And this flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Either you'll be transformed in a twinkle of an eye or you're going to have to leave it here. But the real you is going with God because this is not you. This is your tent. We all know that. This is your clothes to move around this planet. So you see, my brothers over there, they take chances. My cousin over here, they take chances. Because this guy is crazy. This guy is crazy. David goes like this. He goes, let's see how the Spirit leads. And he has took it to places. And when we leave, they're going to shoot out as soon as we walked out of there. My wife is afraid of him. Because be careful with David. You know, David's crazy. David take us everywhere. And I have respect to my cousin. I have a lot of respect for him because he's the type of guy that he has that favor from God that he just talked to everybody. He talked to the Palestinian. He talked to anybody. And they just fall in love with him. And it's all based on the gospel. That's why the Lord has blessed him the way. That's why he has the respect that he has. You see? Because when you serve God and you are submitted to God, God makes you look good. When you open your mouth, you don't even have to worry what you're going to say. The Spirit of God will talk through you like he's doing now. You see? Because he promised. He said, wherever you go before kings and you go before governors, don't even worry what you're going to say. Because at that moment, it will be my Spirit talking through you. Amen? And that's what I depend on. You see, I get up here, or I preach or anything. Let me tell you, the first thing I do, I didn't do it here today, is hey, pray with me. And I say, listen, I cannot do this. Pray that it will not be me speaking, but that I'm an instrument of God, that God's Spirit will talk through me. And let me tell you, it works. Because, sometimes things come out of my mouth when I'm in the Spirit, I'm the first one surprised. Because like I said before, I'm not too smart. I'm an ex-junkie that got brought from the streets that God had took me and made something out of me. And only God could do that. And I'm not the only guy. You see, you know why I'm so thankful? Because I know where I came from. And I look back. And every time the enemy comes to tempt me or try to do something that, you know, I shouldn't do, I remember where I was and where I am today because of God's grace. And it stopped me. And I think twice before I strike. You see? So once again, tell me if you're not blessed. Tell me. My brothers, the missionaries from Africa and all this, God's hand's been protecting you. God's been with you. You're there because God is with you. You're there protected by God. And let me tell you something. If God chooses to take you, so what? You're going to heaven. Which is much better than being here. Amen? So you're blessed. So tell me you're not blessed. And then the Bible tells you, man, listen, you have God in the Word of God. As you study and the Holy Spirit reveals so many things to you, you're going to see the promises that God got for you. And there's so much promises in your behalf that God is not going to let you down. I could let you down, but God will never let you down. Amen? And I think I spoke a lot already, so I think I better stop because I'll continue and then they're going to throw me out. Okay? Oh, David wants to say something. Okay. God bless you. I love you all. Amen. And pray for me. My name, once again, Henry Ortiz. And we have Candle of Light in Puerto Rico. So pray for me, please. Because we all, like I said, we all need each other. Amen.
Can you go to the phone, guys?
I'm
going to take 2 minutes. Yeah. I'm going to show you what we used to do when we got saved. We got saved. We went on a subway. And we started playing the music. Go ahead. Go ahead. We took congas. We took guitars. Then we went on a subway. And we told the subway, hold on a second. We want to say something. We want to talk to about Jesus. And by God's grace, people got saved. In the building, we used to play the congas. And go downstairs in front of the building and tell the people to come downstairs. Henry was playing the congas, and then we were in the subway, and Henry sat on the other side, and I used to tell Henry, who's that? Is that Henry? Henry, how are you doing? He says, okay. I said, Henry, what's new in your life? I'm talking loud in the subway. What's new in your life? He said, I got saved. You got what? I got saved. Saved. What's that? That's all about. And Henry used to say, well, I got saved and I had so much drug in my veins. If a mosquito will bite me, he will get an overdose. I got saved. And he started to share his testimony. And praise God. And then we got on the next train. We did the same thing and just kept on witnessing in that way by God's grace. And then we started taking people off the street, especially during the wintertime, bringing them in. They used to take baths, giving them clothes, and putting them back out. But this is the way we are. And like I said, people thought we moved out. We moved out. And by God's grace, there's a lot of details. But everyone of the gang got saved. Everyone got saved. And they're all ministering for the Lord. Praise God. Thank you. Praise God.